This week on Texas Scorecard Radio, do a quick roundup of election-related news as the 2020 filing deadline passes. In lieu of an interview, we bring you Don Huffine's powerful speech on accepting the Torch of Freedom Award. And we'll close with a commentary from Empower Texans CEO Michael Quinn Sullivan on why we honor citizens, not lawmakers. Welcome back to another week of Texas Scorecard Radio. I'm your host, Tony McDonald, coming to you from the 1836 Studios in Austin, Texas. You can find us, as always, on the web at www.texasscorecard.com. So good seeing so many of you at the Conservative Leaders Award Gala. It was great to connect with so many good listeners out there. Thank you for listening and all the kind words there. Over the weekend, we've also had the filing deadline for the 2020 elections pass over. And so lots of developments on that front. Wanted to touch on those with Kerry Cheshire, Vice President of Texans for Fiscal Responsibility, and Brandon Waltons, Managing Editor for Texas Scorecard. Let's break these down. Lots of developments related to the filing deadline that will tell us who's going to be on the ballot in the 2020 elections.
Exactly right. December 9th, 6 p.m., pretty much that was the deadline, with a couple of exceptions that we'll talk about in a moment. But that was the deadline if you wanted to be on the ballot for the election. And as expected, as happens pretty much every time, you actually had some last-minute surprises on the day of. I think most notably, congressionally-wise, you have a Bush running for office now.
Yeah, so this is Pierce Bush,
yeah.
I think son of Neil Bush,
mm-hmm.
One of the Bush family members running, is this right, the 22nd congressional district?
Oh, that's right, Tony. Based in Fort Bend County, currently held by Pete Olson, who's announced that he's retiring from the Texas legislature. Interestingly enough, Pierce Bush actually lives in the 7th congressional district, which is held by Democrat Lizzie Fletcher, a seat that Republicans are trying to retake and Democrats are trying to defend in the upcoming 2020 election. Pierce Bush is, I think the best way to describe him is a typical Bush. And it's had a lot of conservatives concerned, especially considering a lot of comments he's made critical of President Trump and his agenda.
Yeah, so I think I saw this mm-hmm. Daily Caller out with some news. Apparently, Pierce Bush, a very early part of President Trump's term, out there marching against the president's policies.
Marching in New York City, of all places, literally the first month of his presidency, when folks might remember President Donald Trump came in and wanted to start acting on the immigration ban that he had campaigned on and won on. You had Pierce Bush out there posting on Facebook that he's out of march, saying that, you know, we're a nation of immigrants, and just basically spouting leftist talking points.
Yeah, it was no ban, no fear, yeah. Refugees are welcome here.
Yeah.
You know, it's literally the leftist march.
Exactly.
Diversity is our strength, hashtag.
Exactly, and it's already
literally.
A crowded primary, so it'll be interesting to see how far that Bush name goes. Is it a liability in 2020? We'll see.
Very interesting there. There are a bunch of other mm-hmm. Of these federal races. This is where a lot of the action is on our ballot.
Well, that's right, Tony. For the first time in a long time, we've actually got a very contested primary system here in the state of Texas. You've got multiple challenge races. You've got Chris Putnam running against Kay Granger, a longtime Republican up in the Fort Worth area.
Very
you've
exciting.
You've also got R.J. Boatman down in Southeast Texas, a district that stretches from Harris County all the way into the Big Thicket, challenging incumbent Congressman Brian Babin. Folks will probably remember Brian Babin as the guy who campaigned as a conservative and once he got elected joined the Freedom Caucus, and then shortly thereafter has left the Freedom Caucus and is now actually advocating for red flag laws. We've also got a huge number of open seats mm-hmm. Out in the kind of North Texas, stretching up to the Texas Panhandle area, also Midland all the way down to almost Austin. We've got a very interesting federal congressional races going on in the state of Texas for the first time in a very long time.
Yeah, very, very interesting stuff. Now, let's turn our focus a little bit to the state legislature and some races there. Not much action in the Texas Senate.
Yes, not really any, as a matter of fact. You only have one member right now who's up for re-election who is retiring. That's a Democrat from El Paso, and that seems to be sorted out already, kind of as his anointed successor. So not a lot of interesting stuff happening in the Texas Senate. In the Texas House, on the other hand, a lot of interesting developments.
Yeah, so let's talk about Mike Lang and the Hokey Pokey.
Well, that's a good point to bring up, Tony. Of course, Mike Lang, a lawmaker from Granbury, House District 60, out in kind of, they call it the big country. I think it's West Texas for everyone else in the state. You know, a county district that, you know, he'd come in as a conservative. He had a perfect rating on the Fiscal Responsibility Index, his first session with a 100. Really, this past session, this purple session, he lagged behind, dropping down to a 90, as typically everybody lagged behind. And a lot of people were frustrated with what I think they would describe as a failure of any leadership in the Texas House, and especially Mike Lang, who was the chairman of the Freedom Caucus, which, of course, didn't really do anything at all during the regular session. He had announced back this summer that he was going to run for county commissioner. Then a few days later, decided, no, I'm actually running for state rep again. And then we see right at the filing deadline, he literally does the switcheroo. Out, right? he's actually running for county commissioner again. Rumors saying that he kind of needed a job and wanted the $60,000 a year-ish salary as a Hood County commissioner. But he was also still trying to raise money for a state rep campaign as late as the filing deadline.
Yeah, the actual day of. Is
and apparently it didn't go so well because he's not running for it.
So you saw him get out of that race on the last day, and that actually it triggered an interesting provision of state law where the filing period opened up. So you could see some more candidates jump into that race even after we're going to air. But we'll have to see what happens. There are other candidates running there. Similar sort of thing going on up in Arlington.
That's right. Bill Zedler. Bill Zedler, who's been in the legislature since 2003, save for a two-year period of time where a Democrat took that seat, announced that literally the day after the filing deadline, he actually received a last-minute challenger on that Monday. And the next day, that Tuesday, he announced that he was going to be leaving the legislature, which, as you mentioned, opens that seat back up. So there's going to be an extended filing deadline. You could see some more candidates get in. You know, in the coming days.
Yeah, and so we see those two guys. But the interesting thing is you actually don't see a lot of retirements this cycle, mm-hmm. and there's been some speculation that that is from pressure from Governor Abbott saying, hey, we want everybody to hold still as we head into this redistricting cycle.
Well, and not only that, I mean, Governor Abbott has played a very interesting role this cycle. Folks might remember that 2 years ago, Abbott offered some very targeted endorsements, offered some endorsements against actually a lot of the liberal Republicans in the Texas House. In this session, completely changing course, he's actually now issued individual endorsements for every single incumbent. Now, that includes pro-abortion liberal Republican Sarah Davis, who he endorsed against and compared to Wendy Davis just 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, so I can remember, what are the quotes? I mean, he literally it was, you know, saying, look, this person's not a Republican, and yep. now he's out there saying, well,
he's proud to
I'm proud
her.
To endorse yeah. her.
Well, yeah, and this is somebody who literally caucuses with the Democrats when pro-life legislation comes up. This is somebody who breaks with Republicans on guns, on every other social issue as well. And then even if you remove all of those and you look purely at the fiscal issues, which we do on our Fiscal Responsibility Index, right, she actually performs worse than two Democrat lawmakers. And Tony, you actually had an article at TexasScorecard.com that yeah. posits the idea that she's actually worse than a Democrat because you can, you know, kind of use the Republican branding that she's attached with to actually do Democrat things.
Well, not only that, but literally you see so often in the legislature, they will balance these committees by saying, okay, well, we're going to have a majority of Republicans on the committee, five Republicans and four Democrats on the committee. Well, if she's one of the Republicans, you effectively have five Democrats and four
right.
Republicans.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the case on a lot of these important things. But I guess the takeaway, though, is there are a lot of federal races to be excited about. Not a lot going on in the legislative primary. Some interesting races there to follow, of course. But we're really gearing up to a very contested 2020 general election.
Well, that's right. I mean, you've got a lot of changes here. You've got the end of straight ticket voting, which we've talked about, which will come into play in November 2020. And so you see Democrats gearing up. They want to take back control of the House ahead of redistricting. You see Republicans playing defense in most of the cases. And so I think we're going to see a more interesting general election this next year than we've seen in a long time here in Texas.
Yeah, something definitely to keep an eye on. Thank you for your reporting, guys.
Thank you.
Texas Scorecard Radio is a project of Empower Texans. At TexasScorecard.com or EmpowerTexans.com, you can find more news and daily updates from all around the Lone Star State. You can also find updates from Empower Texans and Texas Scorecard on Facebook and Twitter, and follow Empower Texans on Instagram. Texas Scorecard's News Digest goes out weekly via email and monthly in print. Subscribe online and find more information at empowertexans.com. Someone's always keeping score. We think it ought to be the taxpayers.
This past weekend, Empower Texans awarded the Torch of Freedom Award to Don Huffines. In lieu of an interview this week, I wanted to share with you Don's powerful acceptance speech. I hope you find it as inspiring as I did.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. What an honor. And it really is an honor because I know there. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so humbled. I'm humbled because I know there's a lot of folks in this room right now that could take this award and deserve it also. But I would be remiss if I didn't thank my beautiful, perfect wife of 32 years, Mary Catherine, sitting over there for all the help over the years. Give it up for, thank you, Mary Catherine. Well, hello, Patriots! Hello, Patriots! Are we having fun out there? Let me tell you, life's too short not to have a little bit of fun. Well, let me tell you how I got on this Dallas County Schools deal. It was in the spring of 13, and I was looking at my property tax bill, and there at the bottom of the bill, it said Dallas Equal Fund. And I said, what the hell is that? So we got to be digging. So I started digging into it. And you know what we uncovered was a nest of rats and cockroaches. And we turned on the light and they all ran away. This was the biggest corruption scandal, political corruption scandal in the history of the state of Texas. It really is. Let me tell you, they weren't just stealing a few million dollars. They were stealing tens of millions of dollars of Dallas County taxpayers' money. Tens of millions. Well, we're the ones that got the Texas Rangers involved, that got the FBI involved. We're the ones that got the Dallas County District Attorney involved and the media involved, the investigative reporters involved. I can tell you it was a lonely fight down there in Austin, though. It really was. To get the bill passed, to get rid of Dallas County schools and get those five people in jail, and there's about five or ten more that need to go. But to get that bill passed to abolish it was difficult. But, you know, I really shouldn't have been surprised by that. Let me tell you a quick story what happened at my very first Republican senatorial caucus dinner. A lot of y'all might not know, but the Republican senators, when session starts, we meet once a week, every Monday night, back then, at a restaurant in Austin. And we get together, and we talk about stuff. And so, little old me, very naive and very nervous to go on my first one. And so, I carried with me the party platform. I just love the party platform. So, I put it on my chair. And when it was my turn to say something, I said, okay, well, senators, there's two things I'd like to get, I think we ought to work on this session, two things. I said, first, let's work on getting rid of the franchise tax, phasing it out. That's business tax. All business taxes are passed on to the consumer. So let's work on that. Second, I said, we really need to work on constitutional carry. Yeah. Constitutional carry. You know, that is a priority of our grassroots. It's a priority of our party. And I said, look, guys, I get it. I might not be able to convince everyone in here to vote for it, but that's not the point. The point is, let's hold the vote. Get the bill to the floor. Let's vote on it so everyone can see where you stand on this issue. You're going to be accountable to the voters, I said. I said, it's great. That's why we're here. We need to be accountable. And you know what I heard? Silence. Just like that. Silence. Nothing. And then I heard a fork hit a plate. And then nothing. It was very awkward. It really was. And then one, two, three senators got up from the table in the middle of their meal and left. They left the dinner. The next morning, I get a message. It said, Senator Huffines, you need to apologize to the Republican Senate caucus. And I said, really, what for? And they said, well, it's what you said. And I said, what'd I say? And they said, you said these exact words. This was exactly how the message was communicated to me. They said, you said you're going to hold another Republican senator accountable to the voters. I said, yes, I did. And I'm not apologizing. And now I'm going to work harder on those two issues. And I did for two sessions. I know I'm not going to shock you. I'm not going to surprise you. But our Republican leaders in Austin, they don't like you. They really don't. They hate you because you're going to hold them accountable. They really despise you. They laugh at you, and I mean it. They really do. I've heard it. I've heard them laughing at our Republican Party platform. They think it's put together by a bunch of kooks, a bunch of people that really don't understand. Have you ever heard or seen our governor, Abbott, talking about our party platform? Have you ever seen him hold it in his hand? Have you ever seen our lieutenant governor do it? I worked with him. I never saw it happen. How about our attorney general, our comptroller, our Republican leadership? They haven't done it. You know why? They don't believe in it. They don't like it. They despise it just like they despise us in this room because they don't want to be accountable to it. And you wonder, do we really want to wonder why we had a purple session? This purple session, last session? We have never had a conservative session in the history of the state of Texas. Not one. This state was run by Democrats for over 100 years. Then 15, 20 years, we got a bunch of rhinos running it. We got rhinos running our state. And you know what? What happened last session? What happened on border security? If we wanted to secure the border for the state of Texas, by golly, it would be secure. It isn't secure. What happened on education for school choice, education freedom? Nothing. What happened when they just want to spend all of our money? Did we get tax relief, any significant tax relief? No. Let me tell you something. Don't worry. They're in the back rooms making a deal. I've seen it. I'm telling you the truth. Our Republican leadership is back there with their feet on the desk, sipping their cocktails, and they're going to decide something every session. They're going to decide what party favor you get. The one issue, the two issues that you're going to get to keep so they can shut you up. And they're going to stick a pacifier in your mouth and tell you, you don't know what you're talking about. That's what they're going to tell you. And then the spin wheels are going to start spinning. We're the smartest people in the room. We know everything. You don't know what you're talking about. That's what they're going to say. That's what they say every session. Well, I know you guys better than that. You know, this is... Let me tell you what they did, another thing that didn't get done. It's really one of the most important things they could have got done, and that was securing our elections, yeah. Right? Yeah. Voter fraud is real. Yeah. Greg Abbott was attorney general for 12 years. I don't remember him ever prosecuting anyone for voter fraud. What about our current attorney general? They have hundreds of attorneys on staff. We know dead people vote. We know that thousands of non-citizens are voting. There's no doubt about that. And the scariest thing of all, you know what's really scary? Software manipulation. Let me tell you, those computers are programmed to count the votes. those computers can be easily programmed to change the vote. And that's a fact. I was concerned in 2018 on my election. I was very concerned in Dallas County, as we all should be, since the socialists and the Democrats run it and count the votes. So I dug into that. I said, well, you know, I'm going to look into this. And what I found out was I need to sue and challenge the Republican Secretary of State, who was appointed by a Republican governor, right? It was her own party I'm challenging. And then I lost my attorney because he said, that ain't going to work. There's no way that's going to happen. So I didn't have an attorney, so I had to give it up. I had to give it up. This is a serious fight we're in. It really is. And I know y'all know that. This is a clear fight of good versus evil. It really is. You know, tyranny is evil. The chains of government are evil. We need to identify who's with us and who's not. We need to make sure that those are in the mushy middle, the marshmallows, the light is shined on them. So we can identify the battlefield. I'm going to read you something here. Revelations 3:15. I know your deeds. You are neither cold nor hot. How I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. We're all going to meet our maker. There's no doubt about that. And I'm going to make sure that I'm not lukewarm. I'm going to pray for that. And I don't think anyone in here is lukewarm either. And I'm going to pray for that. But let me tell you, I believe in you. I know that you know that the fundamental role of government is to defend your God-given liberty. Right? That's the fundamental role. I know that you know that our Constitution was divinely inspired and divinely created. So is our country. I know you know the difference between a right and a privilege in our Constitution. And I know you're going to keep this battle going, this fight. I used to say, oh, well, you know, as Texas goes, so goes the nation. I don't say that anymore. I say, as Texas goes, so goes the free world. And so goes the human race. That's how serious this war is. It is as serious as it gets. And that's why it's the forces of good versus evil. But I am excited. Look at all the patriots here tonight. Hundreds of you. And look, if I can close down a government agency by my little self, you know, with a little help, we had some help. But if I can get it done, you can get it done. We can all work together. I'm here with you. I want to work with you. I'm not going anywhere. Are y'all going anywhere?
No.
That's right. None of us are. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep the war going, the battle. Look, I've got an office. I've got a lot of plaques on the walls. I've got, you know, some awards. But nothing means as much to me. I'll give it all. I'll give them all up for this one right here. Right here. And I'm going to tell you why. Because this award comes from you, and you, and you, and you, the grassroots. This comes from true Texans, Texans that believe in liberty, Texans that know the difference in liberty and tyranny and aren't afraid to express it. And it comes from Empower Texans, the catalyst for change, the catalyst for taking back our Republican Party. And I am so honored and so humbled to have it. And I do believe with my heart that our greatest days are yet to dawn. Our time is coming, and it is coming, and it is coming soon, and it's coming now. For liberty, for prosperity, and for virtue. And I love you guys. I really do. God bless Texas, and God bless you.
Hi, this is Kerry Cheshire, Vice President of Texans for Fiscal Responsibility. The 2020 election will be here before we know it, and with every election comes candidates that need to be vetted and tested before we can entrust them with our vote. At TFR, we take that vetting process seriously. Any candidate seeking our endorsement must first fill out a comprehensive questionnaire, then sit for an interview with our staff. We then seek input from each candidate's would-be constituents before making a decision. To find out more about our endorsement process and view which candidates have made the cut, visit empowertexans.com/endorsements.
In this week's commentary, Empower Texans CEO Michael Quinn Sullivan explains why we give accolades to citizens, not lawmakers.
Nothing is more tiresome than the back-slapping end-of-year honors politicians and their sycophants bestow on themselves. It's even worse in a republic built on the revolutionary notion of self-governance. With a Texas Scorecard Radio commentary, I'm Michael Quinn Sullivan. A while back, I was asked which elected officials Empower Texans would be honoring at the annual Conservative Leaders Gala. This well-meaning fellow wanted to know so he could decide how big a sponsor to be, so he could try to be seated with a big cheese politician. We don't honor any politicians, I told him. He was shocked. But aren't those the conservative leaders in Texas, he asked? Not by a long shot. At this year's gala, like every year, we presented grassroots activists with engraved cavalry swords, that ancient symbol of practical, on-the-ground leadership. Each year, we present such honors to a dozen or so folks. To be clear, the honorees aren't people we necessarily know. They come to us by nomination from folks around the state. This year, we received hundreds of such nominations. These folks come from all walks of life and socioeconomic backgrounds. What they have in common, though, is a desire to fight for a better Texas. These aren't people who seek the spotlight or ask for attention. Just the opposite, in fact. They'd be just as happy never being noticed as long as the lot of their fellow Texans is improving. This year's awardees were, like every year, an eclectic bunch of warriors. Some of them have blogs offering insights on local issues, while others are block-walking machines. Some organize get-out-the-vote efforts in their churches and neighborhoods, while others spend their free weekends going into unconventional places looking to expand the conservative movement. One fellow, for example, goes to lowrider car shows and helps connect the passions of those non-political people to the opportunities for a better Texas. Being an engaged citizen is something they do because, like their marriages, their role as parents, even their faith, it's what they are. And so should we all be. They all say the same thing to me. What I do isn't hard. Anyone can do it. And yet too few do. These men and women are leaders precisely because they've jumped first into the fight, encouraging others by their example. Citizens in a republic built on the idea of self-governance should look for leadership not in the ranks of our public servants, but to ourselves and our neighbors. When Texans wake up every day looking for new ways to fight for Texas, the Lone Star State will shine more brightly than ever. I'm Michael Quinn Sullivan with a Texas Scorecard Radio commentary.
Well, as I was saying at the top of the program, it was so great to be with so many of you at the Conservative Leaders Award Gala. It's inspiring to be in a room full of so many patriots. Thank you for being there and supporting Empower Texans and Texas Scorecard, and thank you for listening to this show.
Texas Scorecard Radio is brought to you each week as a public service from the Empower Texans Foundation and in partnership with the Lincoln Institute and this station. You can download podcasts from each program and learn more at empowertexans.com.